Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Blood, Oil, and the Axis, the Allied Resistance Against a Fascist State in Iraq and the Levant. 1941, by John Bruegge, examines a volatile moment in the Second World War when the Middle East became a decisive arena for strategy, ideology, and resources. Centered on the 1941 crisis in Iraq and its spillover into the Levant, the book explores how a coup and the prospect of Axis influence threatened British imperial communications, regional oil supplies, and the security of routes linking the Mediterranean to India. Bruegge places military operations alongside diplomacy, intelligence, and local politics, showing how wartime decisions were shaped by competing priorities and imperfect information. The narrative highlights the complex interplay among Iraqi leaders, British authorities, and neighboring territories under Vichy French control, all while Germany sought openings to destabilize Allied positions. By focusing on a short, intense period, the book illuminates how quickly political change could translate into strategic danger and how the Allies responded under pressure in a region where geography, infrastructure, and legitimacy mattered as much as firepower. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a coup in Iraq and the sudden strategic shock. A central topic is the political rupture in Iraq in 1941 and how rapidly it created a strategic emergency for the Allies. The book frames the coup not as an isolated domestic event, but as a catalyst that exposed the fragility of wartime control in a region where British influence depended on treaties, bases, and cooperation from local elites. Bruegge emphasizes that the crisis raised immediate questions who held legitimate authority, whether British forces could act without triggering broader backlash, and how an internal power shift could invite external sponsorship. The narrative underscores how the appearance of an Axis-aligned, or Axis-sympathetic government mattered even when direct German capacity was limited, because perception could push neighboring actors to hedge, defect, or resist. The Iraqi situation also forced Allied planners to think in terms of time and logistics, such as the vulnerability of airfields, the security of supply routes, and the danger of losing a hub that connected operations across the Eastern Mediterranean. In this view, the coup becomes a case study in wartime state instability, where political decisions, propaganda, and rumor could shape military commitments and transform a regional dispute into an international strategic contest. Secondly, oil, infrastructure, and the mechanics of power. Another major theme is the role of oil and the infrastructure that made it strategically meaningful. Bruegge links the crisis to the practical realities of pipelines, refineries, ports, and transport corridors, arguing that control of resources was inseparable from control of the systems that moved and protected them. The book shows how oil was not merely a background motive but a planning constraint that influenced operational choices, including where forces could be sustained and which locations had to be secured quickly. This focus also clarifies why seemingly peripheral points could become high-value objectives. An airfield enabling long-range flights, a pipeline junction, or a rail connection could determine whether influence was symbolic or enforceable. Bruegge also explores the tension between protecting infrastructure and maintaining political legitimacy, since heavy-handed military measures could provoke local resistance that threatened the very facilities the Allies aimed to safeguard. By grounding strategy in the geography of energy and transport, the book helps readers understand how modern warfare depends on networks, not just battles, and how decisions about security, sabotage risk, and continuity of production shaped Allied priorities in Iraq and the Levant during this brief but consequential episode. Thirdly, Axis opportunism and the limits of distant influence. Bruegge treats the Axis role as both provocative and constrained, illustrating how Germany sought to exploit political openings while facing serious logistical and diplomatic barriers. Rather than portraying Axis involvement as omnipotent, the book highlights the reality that influence often traveled through intermediaries, promises, and symbolic gestures as much as through deployed forces. The 1941 crisis demonstrates how even limited assistance, coordination, or signaling could embolden local actors who believed the Axis might deliver support, thereby raising the costs for the Allies and complicating negotiation. At the same time, the narrative stresses that distance, contested air routes, and competing priorities elsewhere reduce the Axis' ability to turn opportunity into sustained control. This duality matters because it explains Allied urgency decision-makers could not assume the Axis would fail, and they had to act before a small foothold became a platform for wider disruption. Bruegge's treatment also illuminates the informational dimension of war, where estimates of enemy capability, the credibility of rumors, and the visibility of symbolic actions affected morale and alignment. The result is a nuanced account of opportunism, miscalculation, and the strategic value of preventing an adversary from gaining political momentum even when their material resources were limited. Fourthly, the Levant and the wider Middle Eastern chessboard. The book broadens the Iraq crisis by examining its connection to the Levant and the wartime status of neighboring territories. Royce shows how the presence of Vicky French authority in parts of the region created a complicated environment where allegiance, neutrality, and sovereignty were contested. The Levant becomes important not only as a geographic bridge, but as a political space in which airfields, ports, and administrative control could support or hinder operations. This theme highlights how conflicts overlap actions taken in Iraq, had implications for diplomacy and security in Syria and Lebanon, and vice versa, forcing the Allies to balance immediate military needs with longer-term political consequences. The narrative draws attention to how border permeability, local networks, and the movement of personnel and material could shape the trajectory of events. It also stresses that wartime decisions in one theater influence perceptions across the Middle East, affecting whether leaders and publics viewed the Allies as protectors, occupiers, or opportunists. By treating the region as an interconnected system rather than isolated states, Brace encourages readers to see 1941 as a moment when the Middle East's internal politics and imperial rivalries intersected sharply with global war, producing outcomes that were shaped as much by regional coordination as by battlefield success. Lastly, Allied response coalition warfare, speed, and political calculus. A final key topic is how the Allies responded under pressure and what that response reveals about coalition warfare. Broich portrays Allied action as a blend of military initiative, diplomatic messaging, and pragmatic bargaining, driven by the need to restore strategic security quickly. The response required coordinating forces across distances, managing command relationships, and making choices with incomplete information. The book highlights how speed mattered because delays could allow political consolidation by hostile leaders or encourage neighboring actors to change sides. Yet rapid intervention carried risks, including backlash, damage to legitimacy, and the possibility of overextension. This topic also underscores the importance of political calculus interventions. We're not just about defeating an opponent, but about shaping a post-crisis order that would keep supply routes open and prevent repeated instability. Brooks' account is useful for readers interested in how states manage limited resources in a complex environment, where goals include deterrence, reassurance, and the maintenance of alliances. By exploring the interactions among military planning, intelligence assessments, and local politics, the book illustrates that in 1941, the Allies were not only fighting battles, but also trying to manage narratives and institutions. The episode becomes an instructive example of how wartime coalitions act when strategic assets, regional legitimacy, and time-sensitive threats collide. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a focused, historically grounded account of how the Second World War played out beyond the familiar European front lines. Students of modern Middle Eastern history, imperial and diplomatic history, Temple, and military strategy will find value in the way the 1941 crisis is presented as a fast-moving interaction between local politics and global war aims. It can benefit a reader's life by sharpening how they think about the relationship between resources and security, and by showing how political legitimacy and infrastructure can be as decisive as battlefield strength. The book also encourages practical skepticism about wartime narratives, since perceptions of threat and capability can drive choices as powerfully as facts on the ground. Compared to broader surveys of the war, it offers a tighter lens that makes causality easier to follow, while still connecting events in Iraq and the Levant to the wider Allied strategic problem of protecting routes and supplies. Compared to works that treat the Middle East primarily as a backdrop, it foregrounds regional agency and contingency, helping readers understand why small windows of instability can reshape policy. For buyers seeking a concise but serious study of a pivotal episode, it is a worthwhile addition to a World War II or Middle East history shelf. If you would like to support John Broich, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.